Good morning. Today's daf and kedushin is based. We're starting now the mesechta, new mesechta, final mesechta here in Seder Nashim. Last mesechta in Seder Nashim, and the last mesechta in Seder Nashim is kedushin, and that of course is unusual. Kedushin is the first stage of marriage. You would imagine that if we're going to learn Seder Nashim, so we'd be talking about the first stage of marriage somewhere earlier in the Seder. I don't know. Maybe put it as number one in the Seder, but in other words, the idea that it's the last one, it's a little bit strange. Okay, much to say about that, but I, as everyone here knows, the usual listener, the regular, will know that I'm going to give the standard response to that, and that is that it's the shortest mesechta. Shortest mesechta, what does that mean, shortest mesechta? It's not short at all. It's pretty long, over 80 pages, but it is short in terms of prakim. There's only four prakim in the mesechta. So, and as you've heard me say already time and again, and you get to hear me say it again today, and that is within every Seder, so the mesechtas are arranged in order of parakim, starting with the largest, ending with the smallest. Anyway, I do not want to belabor that point, as we made this point already numerous times. So why is Kedushin the last one? Because it's the smallest. It's only got four parakim. There are more than, in other words, that's just one answer. In other words, there's more. Right.
With
Kedushin. I was going to say, there's more to say on that, but let's leave it like that. Okay, it's just a general introduction to say to Masechta Kedushin. So I'm going to take a look together at the Rambam, and we're going to learn two halachas in the Rambam together. And this is going to be just a short introduction. Number one, the Rambam writes, I'm in Hilchos Ishus, and we're learning together now the first two halachas. Halacha number one, Kodem Matan Torah. So how did marriage look before the Torah was given? And that is Hayadam Poke Isha Bashuk. So man meets girl, or man meets woman. And Imratso Huvi Hilisa Osa Machnisa Labeso Boala Beno Levein Atma Vitiya Lalisha. So now if they're agreeable, in other words, there's courting and there's courtship, and if they're agreeable to get married, so what do? They seclude themselves in the room. They're intimate with one another, and that is marriage. Before Matan Torah, before Klal Yisrael was given the Torah, so that's what marriage looked like. So Kevin Shenitna Torah, now the Torah is given. Nitzdav Yisrael, Shem Yirtza Ish Lisa Isha. So we have now the following mitzvah, and that is that if a man wants to marry a woman, Yikne Oso Tchila, Bifne Edim. So now he has to be kona her. Now I'm going to keep using the word acquire because that's the English word that we usually describe it. But over here, kinyan, acquisition, it's not like a property. It's not like a commodity. In other words, it is not acquisition of asset. Acquisition over here just simply means that you're giving her a status, a change of status. Okay, but so you'll hear me say the word acquire. But from this point going forward, if everyone could just remember, and I understand if you're not listening to the first couple minutes of today, so you're going to hear the word acquire. But anyway, but acquisition over here just simply means change of status. So Aish Lisa Aisha Yikneh Oso Tchila Bifnei Edim V'Achar Kach Tiyeh Lo Leisha. And then afterwards you're going to take her as a wife. Shenemer Ki Kach Ishi Shava Uva Eilaha. Okay, so in other words, in the Rambam says that's pshat in the pasuk Ki Yikach Ish Isha. In other words, now you understand the pasuk is describing over here marriage in its two stages. Stage number one is the kicha. That's the kinyan. That's kiddushin. That's our mesechta. And then uva'ilah now is that once you do kiddushin, so now you go to the second stage. The second stage is going to be bia. Now the second stage of marriage is called bia. Now just to be a little bit more specific, so we have a term to describe the second stage of marriage, and that's called nisuin. How is nisuin performed? Okay, so this point I'll go over at a later point in time. Meaning the second stage of marriage, which is nisuin, is done exactly how? Hold that thought. I'll address it. It may not be today. And it doesn't have to be today because today we're just focusing on Kedushin. Okay. So what we've just learned together in the Rambam is that the Kedushin is Jewish. Okay. In other words, if you want to know, it's a great way to think about it. It's a great way to express it. And that is that you want to know what makes a marriage Jewish. And the answer is Kedushin. Meaning historically, in order for marriage to occur, it was just simply a courtship. And then Bia and Bia created the marriage. But now that we are given the Torah tells us that there is a step that precedes. And the antecedent step in terms of marriage is going to be Kedushin. And to marry a woman, you first have to go through the first stage of marriage, which is Kedushin. It is a formal, again, I'm going to use the word acquisition, okay, but with the asterisk of what I said earlier, it's a formal acquisition. And then, and only then, after Kedushin, can you go on to the second stage of that of Bia. Later in the Masechta, not much later, later in the Masechta, we're going to ask the question, can I flip it around? Can we do Nisuin and then afterwards can we do Kedushin? In other words, I do the two steps, but I do them in the reverse order. Is that going to work? So that's a great question. In fact, the Gemara later on is going to discuss it. So we could wait until we discuss that. But Kedushin is really an act of creating a Jewish marriage. It gives us an additional step in terms of marriage. Now, we'll be clear at this point in time. The Rambam's going to say it later on. I'm not going to go through all the Rambams right now. We're only going to go through two halachas in our introduction. In other words, once Kedushin is done between man and woman, they are married. I want to say it as clearly as possible. I'll say it again. Once Kedushin is done between man and woman, they are married. As far as halacha is concerned, she is married to him. If she commits adultery from that point going forward, even though they only went through the first stage of marriage, they didn't go through the two stages of marriage. If she commits adultery from that point going forward, that is an act of adultery. She's subject to Misa. Misa bidei Adam. V'chule. And if he wants to divorce her at that point in time, he has to give her a get. Okay, so they are married, despite the fact that they've only gone through the first stage of marriage. So, it is, on one hand, the first stage of marriage. On the other hand, it is marriage. Okay. To call Kiddushin engagement is misleading, to say the very least. Right? The way we use the word engagement nowadays just simply means it's a commitment. Right? Meaning that basically there's a courtship going on and we're committed to getting married. But that's not Kiddushin. Kiddushin is the first stage of marriage. Okay. As long as we're here in the Rambam, so let's just go through one more halacha, which we're going to see together in the Mishnah. But I'm still filing this under an introduction. The Rambam writes in the second halacha, "V'lekuchin elu mitzvos esei shel tarahim." It's a mitzvah to kedushin. Okay, this is going to be a major debate amongst the Rishonim. The Gemara itself never articulates whether kedushin itself is a mitzvah. Now, of course, there's a mitzvah puru revu that goes without saying, but puru revu needs a marriage. Okay. We all know puru revu can be accomplished without marriage. In other words, you could procreate without marriage, But nevertheless, the marriage itself, is it a mitzvah? So the Rambam says yes, unequivocally. The Rambam could not be clearer. V'likuchin elu mitzvos esei shel tarahim. On the other side of the Rambam is the Rush. The Rush, which we're obviously not going to go through right now, but the Rush is of the position that the marriage is not a mitzvah, it's a hechsher mitzvah. It sets the stage so that you could do peru avu in the correct manner. But in other words, the marriage itself is not a mitzvah. Okay, and much to discuss regarding this machlokus between the Rambam and the Rush. We're not going to discuss it, but I am just raising it.
It's a mitzvah only to the men's side, not the women's side.
It's a fair question. It's a fair question. Okay. Now, how is a woman going to be acquired? Meaning, how do you do this kedushin? So there are going to be three ways to do it. That's what we're going to be seeing in today's Gemara. Because of Bishar Bebiya. So it can be either done with money, with contract, or with Biya. Now the Rambam makes a comment over here, which is much discussed. We're not going to discuss it, but I'll just, as long as we're here, I'll just simply raise awareness. And that is the Rambam makes a qualitative distinction between Bia and Shtar versus Kesef. Bia and Shtar that the Torah describes. Now, as we go through the Gemaras, by the way, you want to hear this Rambam in the back of your head. You want to keep this Rambam in the back of your head where the Rambam says that Kesef, and I'm sorry, Bia and Shtar, that's in the Torah, right? That is min ha-Torah. But Kesef is midivrei sofrim, but Kesef only operates midivrei sofrim. Okay, again, we could spend the rest of this morning discussing it. We're not. In other words, we are going to do the daf. But as long as we're here, I just mentioned it. V'lekuchin Elohim nikrim kiddushin o erusin b'chol makom. And then let's get our vocabulary down to the Rambam. In other words, this first stage of marriage, this kicha that we're describing over here, so it can go in one of two words. We can either describe it using the word kiddushin, or we could describe it using the word erusin. Those are two words that are synonymous with this first stage of marriage. And once a woman has undergone this process of kiddushin, she's either called a mikudeshes or a meuresas. Adkan, that's the end of the introduction. That's the Rambam, the first two halachas in Hilchos Ishus. And now with that stated, let's begin today's daf. Haisha nicknames Bishlosha. Sorry, I already made a mistake. Haisha nicknames Bishalosh Derachim. Okay, you'll see why I made that mistake. It's cute. It's cute that I made that mistake. So a woman is going to be acquired in one of three ways. Vekones Atzma, Bishtei Derachim. She can acquire herself in one of two ways. Nicknames because of Bishar Bavia. So she can be acquired with either Kesef or Shtar or Bia. Those are one of the three possible ways we saw in the Rambam. But right now we're going back to the origins. We're seeing it now in the Mishnah. Kiddushin can be done in one of these three ways. The Kesef, now in terms of acquiring her with kesef. So beishamir omrim bedina v'shavedina beisil omrim bepruta uvishavepruta. So how much money do you have to give? So it's a machlokus between beishamir and beisil. Beishamir says either a dinar or its equivalent. According to beisil, a pruta or its equivalent. V'kami yipruta. Now, just in case you're curious to know how much is a pruta, echad mishmona beisar italki. So it's an eighth of an isser, an Italian isser. Okay, why the Mishnah needs to fill in this detail over here? Obviously, it's germane to our discussion. But generally speaking, we don't find Mishnayos giving us money, you know, a schedule of money and how much its value is. But okay, over here, for reasons that I'm not sure why, the Mishnah inserted, here's how much a pruta is. Parenthetically, by the way, it's not parenthetical. Rashi points it out right over here. And that is a pruta is a copper coin and a isser is a silver coin. Okay. Various metals back then were used for various currencies. Okay. It used to be back in the day for most of human history that currencies were made up of the actual metals. Right? And they had intrinsic value. Right? Nowadays when we deal with currencies, so they don't have intrinsic value. Okay. But this is not a discussion. I'm not an economist and this is not a discussion in economy, but okay. Anyway, Vikona es atzmo begedu v'misa sabal. Okay, so in other words, she enters into marriage in one of three ways. She can exit marriage in one of two ways. She exits marriage either by get. Okay, go back to the previous mesechta, which we just discussed, the last 3 months. Or misa sabal, the husband dies. Hayavam niknes bebiavakonas asma bechalitza uve misa sayavam. Now, as far as the yavam is concerned, so in other words, as long as we're talking about entering and exiting marriage, so now we're going to do the same thing for yavama. Yavama will enter into marriage via bia. And Rashi over here spends a little bit of time going over specifically Bia and not that of Maimer. Okay. Now, if you learned Yavamos, you understood that. If you didn't learn Yavamos, then you didn't understand it. I'm not going to go through it right now. But there anyway, the mechanism of the Torah for a Yavam, for Yavama to get married is going to be Bia. Say it clearly, say it succinctly. V'kona sasma b'chalitza v'misa sayavam, in terms of her exiting her marriage, the Yavama. So it either can be done via chalitza, obviously chalitza only when done before the bia, or misa sayavam, or when the yavam dies, obviously leaving no other yavam available. In other words, if there's only one yavam and he dies, so now she is free to marry whoever she wants. Okay. We learned together now so far a Mishnah that really covers most of the Amud Aleph. Just a briefer introduction to the Gemara we're about to do. The Gemara we're about to do is unbelievably technical. Okay. Now I know Gemaras in general are technical, meaning isn't that what we do most every day? So when I say technical over here, like in other words, we're going to be sitting on the grammar of the Mishnah, right? Generally speaking, the Gemara has questions. The Gemara is conceptual. The Gemara is trying to really get behind the halacha, understand the halacha, understand the mechanics of the halacha. Over here, we're going to be spending the entirety of today's daf going over the grammar of our Mishnah. Okay. For the grammarians out there, you're going to love it. And for the rest of us, so we're going to hang on. Ha'isha niknes maishnah hacha didni, ha'isha niknes maishnah hasam didni, ha'ish mekadesh. So we're going to ask grammar question after grammar question. Okay, number one. Our Mishnah opens up with the words Haish Niknes. A woman is going to be acquired. Obviously, coming from the perspective of the woman, right? Marriage requires man and woman. Okay, good. And our Mishnah is coming from the perspective of the woman. That's also good. But meanwhile, when you open up the second parak of our Masechta, now, by the way, the second parak of the Masechta, obviously, the next parak, when do we see it? Not for a very long time. This first parak over here is a monster. This first parak is going to take us 40 blot. And only on Daf Mem Aleph, only then and only then do we start the second parak of the Masechta. Okay, is there another parak that this long in pages? I don't think so. Okay, there are a couple of monster parakim out there. This is a monster parak. Anyway, so in the beginning of the second parak, it says Haish Mikadesh. So over here, why are we using different verbs to describe a woman? Is now we already know that the Mishnah could have used the word Mikudeshes. It doesn't say that. It says Niknes. Now, those are synonymous terms, admittedly, but why aren't we consistent? This is what bothers the Gemara. Meaning, so why don't we open up with the second parak using the same verb? So, Maishna hacha didni aisha niknes, and Maishna hasam didni aish mekadesh. Okay. Mishum tekabai lemise kesef. So the Gemara says, because our Mishnah knows what's coming up ahead, and that is that the woman is going to be acquired, and one of the ways is kesef. The kesef minale. Now, how do I know, from where do I know that a woman can be acquired via kesef? So as Rashi points out over here, this is not really where we're discussing it. Meaning we're not really having the conversation now of what is the source of kesef. It just happens to be that I need to know this information in order to appreciate what the Gemara's answer is. So minale gamar kicha kicha misei Ephron, it is gzeirah shavah. Right? We have the word kicha as it relates to marriage. We quoted already at the beginning of Shir today at the introduction. And we also have it in terms of the purchasing of Maris HaMachpelah. So, we see now that the word kicha is used in both locations. Obviously, Avram's purchase of Maris HaMachpelah is done via kesef. So, therefore, the acquisition of a woman, the kiddushin, can be done via kesef. Good. And again, this is a discussion we're going to have in more detail later in this parak. But right now, now that we know that kesef is a viable way of kiddushin, the kicha ikra kinyan. Ah, so now that's why the word kinyan is most appropriate. So dichtiv asadasha kan Avraham inami sadus bekesef yiknu. So tani aisha niknes. So we already have not one but two psukim that describe that when purchasing a field, so the word kinyan is appropriate when talking about marriage kiddushin. So a way of doing so is kesef, and kesef is done. And kiddushin is done via kesef, and so therefore the word kinyan is appropriate. So the Gemara says, "Venisne hasam ish kona." Okay, well, I'm sorry. Before we get on to the next point, and by the way, we're already on the Amud Beis. I know that was quick. There's a lot of tosfosim that we're not doing together. Again, this is a daf format. We're covering the basics. So, but meanwhile, over here. So we've answered question number one. Question number one: why does it say ha'isha nikne? So it's because of kesef. Now, granted, by the way, that there are two other ways in which a woman is going to undergo kiddushin, but still, because kesef is in there, so therefore, kinyan is an appropriate term for kesef. Now, v'nisne, we're on Beis Amud Beis, and we're the second line down, v'nisne hasam ish kona. So now, the appropriateness of the word nikneis in our Mishnah has been established. So now that we know that nikneis is appropriate, so why don't we go to the second parak? And opening up now with, instead of saying ha'ish mikadesh, so the Mishnah over there should say ha'ish kona. In other words, what we would like is symmetry and we would like consistency. That's the Gemara's question. V'nisnei asam ha'ish kona, mi'ikara t'ni lishne da'araisa, ulevesof t'ni lishne da'rabanan. Now, so the Gemara says, well, we're going to be opening up with lishne da'araisa, meaning the word kona, as we already established our psukim, right? We quoted two psukim that established the word kona being appropriate. And then when talking about kiddushin, that's lishna derabana. That's a rabbinic language. Now, kiddushin, the word kiddushin itself, the word mikadesh, is not a rabbinic language, but using it to describe the first stage of marriage, that's rabbinic language. Meaning in the Torah itself, you're never going to see the Torah describing the first stage of marriage as kiddushin. In fact, how does the Torah describe it? We already know. Kicha. Right, literally to take, but take we now understand because we have the Torah Shebaal Peh. Take means that you're going to be mekadesh in one of three ways. To use the word kiddushin in the context of the first stage of marriage, that's rabbinic language. Why did they choose that language? The Gemara is about to explain. So umay lishna derabanan da'asola akule ama kehekdesh. Because with kiddushin now she becomes also to the rest of the world, like hekdesh. Now, when you're makdish something, so then that means to say that nobody is allowed to get hana from that item. When you're mikadesh a woman, she now becomes prohibited to everybody in the world. In other words, she's your wife now, and she's usher to everybody else. So when the chachamim use a word to describe the first stage of marriage, they're going to call it kiddushin. So now what we're hearing together now is an explanation of our Mishnah over here, Ha'isha, nikneis. So why use the word nikneis? That's Lashon Torah. And then the first mission of the second parak, it says, Ha'ish Mikadesh. Well, that's Lashon Derabanan. That's the rabbinic way of describing the first stage of marriage. Good. V'nisneha Ha'ish Koneh. So the Gemara says, okay, so why are we coming at it from the perspective of the woman? Why don't we come at it from the perspective of the man? In other words, and again, just look at the parallel. Right? In the first Mishnah over there, it says, first Mishnah of the second parak, it says, Ha'ish Mikadesh. So over here, why don't we just simply say Aish Kona? Now again, we already explained why their Mikadesh here Kinyan, but why aren't we coming from the perspective of the man like we did over there? Mishim de kabayla mesay seifa v'kones atzma b'dida. So tani nami resha b'dida. So the Gemara says the reason why over here we can't come from the perspective of the man is because our Mishnah is going over two separate points. How does she enter marriage and how does she exit marriage? Now, in terms of the exiting of the marriage, we have to come from her perspective, as the Gemara is about to point out. Okay. Now, in terms of the exiting of the marriage, you can't come at it from the perspective of the man because one of the two ways of exit, one way is getting, and you could say makne, in other words, he is going to allow her to acquire herself, that's getting, but at the same time, however, there's also death. Now, death, the husband's not doing anything actively. In other words, with the death of the husband, you know what happens? The marriage gets dissolved. Period. Right? The Gemara's lashon means shemayahu de maknila. Right? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu now does is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows her to acquire herself in the absence of her husband. So over here, we can't come from the perspective of the man because we know what's happening in our Mishnah. Three ways upon entering, two ways upon exiting, and one of those ways of exiting, it does not involve the husband because he's dead. An alternative explanation why we don't say Ha'ish Kone is because had the Mishnah said Ha'ish Kone, what one could have understood is that a man is going to be able to perform Kiddushin even against their will. So Tana Isha Niknes to Midaita and Shalom Midaita Lo. So therefore, the Mishnah wants to make sure that we understand a fundamental principle regarding marriage, and that is that when it comes to Kiddushin, it can only be done with her das. Parenthetically, by the way, it's in contradistinction to that of Gittin. Gittin can be done Baal Karcha. Okay? I'm not sure. In other words, we went through the entirety of Masechta Gittin. I'm not sure if I mentioned it. It's never too late. So when it comes to Gittin, even though the halach is that a woman can be divorced against her will, there is a Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershom. Right? Rabbeinu Gershom lived in around the 11th century, so he made multiple charamim. In other words, why do we call it a cherem? It's called a cherem because he can't make a gzera. Gzera is only done when there is a beis din. And going back to Bais Sheni, right? Even post Bais Sheni, can it be called a gzera? In other words, amongst the Tanaim and Amoraim? I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, but certainly by the period of the Rishonim, they can't make a gzera. Okay? In other words, they can't make a formal rabbinic legislation. But what they can do is that they can legislate. They just have different tools in the shed. And one of them is what's called a cherem. A cherem basically is a curse. Right? If you don't abide by this, you will be cursed. That's what's called a cherem. Okay. Sorry, I'm already two parenthetical notes in. So Rabbeinu Gershom made a cherem that a man cannot divorce his wife, Baal Karcha. Okay? Even though mi ikar hadin, according to the strict letter of the law, he can, but Rabbeinu Gershom says he cannot. Okay, now I can go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says that when a man marries a woman, avaya kiddushin, which is the only way a man marries a woman, so that can only be done with her ratzon, as opposed to gittin, which can be done Baal Karcha. Okay. Mar yedidni shalosh neshlosha. Okay. So far, if you look back at the Mishnah, so what have we successfully navigated? The first two words of a Mishnah. It's great. I told you, it's a very technical daf, right? More than half of today's daf has been covered. And what we have done is explain Ha'isha Niknes, right? We explain Ha'isha, meaning why Ha'isha, why don't we come from the perspective of the man? We explain Niknes and why specifically the choice of word, Niknes as opposed to Mikudeshes. As we found in the beginning of the second parak, good, and we gave fundamental answers that answers the first two words of the Mishnah. We are now up to the third word of the Mishnah. We're flying. Ma'ir nishlosh lisnei shlosha. Okay, you notice that the Mishnah uses the word shalosh. Shalosh is feminine, and why not use the word shlosha, which is masculine? Okay. Okay, again, I feel like we're back in school and we're learning grammar together. So generally speaking, first of all, in Lashon HaKodesh, it's feminine and masculine. Okay, again, I didn't speak to my fact checkers this morning, but most languages have masculine and feminine. Okay, I can only really speak for Spanish. Farsi? We've covered this before. I need chazara. Farsi does not have masculine feminine. Okay.
French does.
Yeah. All the romantic languages are going to have masculine and feminine, right? I know a little bit Spanish. Okay, a little bit more than a little bit, but anyway. So the Lashon HaKodesh has got masculine and feminine. So generally speaking, in terms of feminine, so we all know kamatzeh is like the telltale sign that it's feminine, or a tough at the end of the word also is a telltale sign that it's feminine. Okay, and for reasons that I cannot tell you why, but when it comes to numbers, so it's a rule breaker. So when it comes to numbers, so shlosha, that's masculine. Shalosh, that's feminine. Okay, good. Right, basics that we need to know. So when our Mishnah now talks about the ways in which a woman is going to undergo kiddushin, ha'isha nikneis, now big gimel drachim. So instead of using the word shalosh or shlosha, use gimel. It's three. We know the number is three, but why did the Mishnah elect to go with lashon nekeva? Why does it say shalosh? Now, what is the three? It's an adjective. What is it modifying? No, derachim. So really the question is, what's derech? Is derech masculine or derech feminine? Well, once we know that, so then we can easily figure out what should be the right conjugation of the word shalosh. Right? If it were that easy. My ear is ni shalosh, listen shalosh, mishum dekamai, let me say derech, v'derech lashon nekevahu. Dechziv. So the Gemara says that derech is feminine. The pasuk says, "Vahodat alam es aderech yelchu ba." So clearly, over here, when the Torah is describing derech, it uses a feminine conjugation. Ve'elahad detanya b'sheva derechim bot kemesazav v'nisnei sheva sheva. So the Gemara says, really, derech is feminine. Really. So how about a Mishnah? The Mishnah in Zavim, the in the second parak of Zavim. So seven ways in which your bodek is a zav. You examine a zav in one of seven ways. I'm not going to go through the Mishnah right now. Right now, I'm just going to stay on the conjugation. And that is that it's conjugated using the word shiva, which is masculine. And meanwhile, it's modifying the word derech. Well, that's strange. So the Gemara says, Mishum dekabai lemesei derech, v'ashkachan derech dekrei lashon zachar. So the Gemara says, well, over there, the Mishnah and zav, you know why it's conjugated masculine? Because it's modifying the word derech, and derech is masculine. Now, hopefully at this point in time, you're wondering, didn't he just say that derech is feminine? Hold that thought. So, dichsiv baderech echad yetu elecha v'shiv'a derachim yanusa lefanecha. So here we have another pasuk in the Torah. This is at the Tochacha, at the end of Devarim, where it says, shiv'a derachim. Shiv'a is masculine. So, yahachi kasha kraya adade v'kasha inami masizana adade. So the Gemara says, now, it's fair to say we're confused. We have psukim that describe derech both masculine and feminine. We have mishnayos that describe derech being masculine and feminine. So the Gemara says, okay, so what do we have over here? So we have ambiguity because there are certain words in the Torah that are ambiguous and are eligible to be modified and conjugated either masculine or feminine. So kraya dadi lo kashen hachad v'tara kai v'tara ikra lashon nekeva dechziv taras Hashem tamima mishivas nafesh. So kasa labi lashon nekeva. So the Gemara says, it's very simple. Go back to Parshas Yisro, which we quoted above, v'hodat alam es aderech yelchu ba, and there the word derech is describing the Torah, right? It's in it's right before Matan Torah. It's a description of the Torah, and the Torah is Lashon Nekeva. Okay? It's funny, by the way, the Gemara says, how do I know the Torah is Lashon Nekeva? Torah Hashem Tamima Mishivas Nafesh. In other words,
feminine or the...
No, Tamima.
Shiva,
huh? Shiva. It's masculine. Shiva is masculine.
Shiva is masculine.
Yeah.
Shiva is feminine.
I'm sorry. Shiva. Shiva is masculine, and Shiva is feminine. Yeah. Okay. So the it's funny that the word the Gemara needs to quote a pasuk to tell us that Torah is feminine. Meaning again, it's got the kamatzeh that usually by itself is an indicator, but the pasuk in Tehillim, there's nothing to argue with. In other words, Torah Hashem Tamima, as opposed to Tamim. Okay, so Torah is feminine. So Hasam, but now we look at the second pasuk, right? Bederech Echad Yetzu. So what is that describing? It's describing war. So Deme Mechama Kai, Dedar Chashil Lassos Mechama, Vein Dar Chashil Isha, Lassos Mechama, Kasvala Blashan Zachar. Oh. So in other words, the word Derech itself does not have a specific assignment of masculine and feminine. And what you're going to look at is the context. And the context is going to tell you which way we're going to go. If the word derech is contextually talking about the Torah, so then it'll be conjugated feminine. If the word derech is describing war, like it is in Parshas Kisavo, so then it'll be conjugated masculine. Okay. So what we've done now is we've explained why the Torah itself gives us different directions of which way we're going to go in terms of derech being masculine, feminine. Great. Now, what about the Mishnayos? So, Masisa Nada Dilokasha, Hachidil Gabi Isha Kai, Ketani Labalash Nikeva. Now, as far as the Mishnayos are concerned, also not at all a problem. When it comes to a woman, so, right, in other words, in our Mishnah, we're coming from the perspective of the woman, so therefore, we're going to use Lashon Nekeva. Hasam Delagabi Ishkai, there in the Mishnah Zavim, obviously we're describing a man. In other words, the examinations that are not, that need to be done in order to make sure that he's a Zav. So, the Darker Shalisha Libadek, Van Darker Shalisha Libadek, Daisha Nami Bonus Metame. So, Tani Lashon Zachar. Who's going to be doing examinations? Only men are going to be doing examinations, not women. Okay. And just to appreciate and understand this line of the Gemara, so we need to know one halacha. Rashi here brings it down. I'll say it outside. And that is for a man to be a Zav, meaning not only does he have to have a physical discharge, but under certain conditions. It can only be not meones. Okay. I'm not going to explain this in any kind of detail. And my understanding of it anyway is limited. So, But just to know that for a man to have the status of being a Zav, where he is now going to be an Avatoma, so he has to have a discharge and it has to come out without any external forcing. Okay. And there are many ways of identifying whether it is coming me gufo or me ones. Seven different ways in terms of examination. Okay. And that's what the Mishnah Zavim is describing. When it comes to a woman, she will be a Zava with simply a discharge by itself, with no distinction or delineation in terms of whether or not it came out meonis or not meonis. And so therefore, a woman's never going to be doing a bedika. In other words, does she have a discharge? If the answer is yes, she is now a zava. Okay. So that's why the Mishnah Zavim is Balashan Zachar, because the only one doing a bedika is going to be a man, not a woman. Okay. My time atni shalosh misham derachim nisne devar v'nisle shlosha. Okay. Why does it say shlosh? Because of derech. Okay, fine. How about instead of using the word derech, it uses devarim? The gimel devarim, and therefore the Mishnah can use the word shlosha. Rashi points out over here that generally speaking, we would like to use the Lashon Zachar. Right? Rashi writes over here very succinctly, it's a very succinct comment to Rashi, listening devarim v'nisnei shlosha ki urcha de gemara. Meaning generally speaking, that's how the Gemara prefers to speak. And so, in other words, we're using the word shalosh in the feminine because of derachim. Okay, so why don't we change derachim, make it devarim, and now instead of using the word shalosh, we can go back to the standard shlosha. Again, as I pointed out at the beginning of today's daf, extraordinarily technical gemara. So nisnei devarim nisnei shlosha mishum dekabay lemesei bia ubia ikre derech dechsiv derech gever ba'ama. Or ba'alama kein derech isha man efes. So the Gemara says, well, the word, we know that one of the ways in which a woman is going to go through kiddushin is via bia, and bia, the word derech, is an appropriate term to describe bia. The Gemara quoted a pasuk in Mishlei. Hatenech bia kesef ishtar ma'ikal ameimar. So mishum bia. So the Gemara says, what about kesef and shtar? Do you have a pasuk describing kesef and shtar and where the word derech is used? Now, by the way, by Kesef, we already know there's not going to be any pasuk whatsoever, meaning it's a gzera shava. We already went over that earlier this morning. But in other words, but you don't certainly don't have the word derech by either one of them. So the Gemara says, okay, mishum bia. Gemara says, yeah, but I know, but we do have bia as one of the three. And bia, we do have a pasuk describing it using the word derech. So the Gemara says, v'tani tarti atu chada. So the Gemara says, okay, but generally speaking, what's going to be the decider? So it's going to be rov. I have three ways in which a man is mekadesh a woman. Kesef, shtar, and bia. You're right, bia does have the word derech that's appropriate to it, but kesef and shtar doesn't, and kesef and shtar are two of the three. So hanach nami tzarech bia ninu. So the Gemara says, well, here's what you could say. First of all, what is kiddushin? Kiddushin is the first stage of marriage, and what does marriage culminate in? Bia. So even though bia is one of the three ways to be mekadesh, but even kesef and shtar are leading to bia. Okay. Ibai zema hamani rabbi shimon, ititani rabbi shimon omer. Alternatively, the Gemara says is that the reason why the Mishnah is so gung-ho on using the word derech is because of that which Rabbi Shimon taught us. What did Rabbi Shimon teach us? Memneima amra Torah ki yakach ish isha velo kasav ki si la kach ish isha li ish. So why does the Torah come at it from the perspective of the man marrying the woman? The man is taking the active role, the woman taking the passive role. Now, I'm using the word passive over here. Let's remind each other. We learned it just 10 minutes ago in the daf. In other words, she can only be mekudeshes only with her das. But in other words, over here, we're just talking about the courtship process, where the man is more active, the woman is more passive. Because a man is looking for the woman, the woman's not looking for the man. Mashallah Adam Shavdalo Aveda. And if I can explain to you, says Rabbi Shimon, using a mashal, and that is after losing something. Mi chozer ami. Who's looking for whom? So Bal Aveda Mechazel Aveda so. So it's the one who lost who is looking for the item that was lost. What did the man lose? Rashi writes over here clearly. So the Aveda Achas Mitzalosav. So what happened was is that Adam Arishon was created with an extra tzela. Okay. Anyone who translated it as a rib, I don't know. I don't know where that came from. But whatever. In other words, it's an appendage. It's a side. And and what happens is that at Akash Baruch Hu, so he split. Okay. I'm here for the dad pun. He split the atom. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so the it's so bad. Okay, I really enjoyed it. So the so meanwhile, so what Adam Arishon lost was that tzela, and so now what Adam and all his and all his progeny is going to be doing now from time immemorial is looking for that lost tzela. So that's why the man is being mechazer. He's the one looking, and that's why the Mishnah elects with the words derech, because he's on the path to find the lost tzela. Okay. Okay. I'm gonna pause over here. Why not? Okay. We're gonna be doing this a couple more times, a couple more rounds of linguistics and why choose that language over that language. Okay. Good. Adkan. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay. We covered today the first daf in Masechta Kiddushin. So with our general introduction. Okay, I can't underscore how important, not my introduction was, but just to understand how marriage works, what's Jewish about a marriage, what was introduced by the Torah. Okay, so we went through the Rambam, the first two halachas of the Rambam, in terms of Kiddushin being the Torah's introduction or Torah's addition to marriage prior to Matan Torah. Prior to Matan Torah, it was just Nisuin, which basically the Rambam says is Bia, and then with the Torah, with the introduction of the Torah, so we now, the Jewish people, are given an extra step, a step of the marriage, and that's Kiddushin. But Kiddushin is not engagement. Kiddushin is the first stage of marriage. It's the first step of marriage. But make no mistake, Kiddushin creates a marriage between husband and wife. She's Mezana after Kiddushin. That's an Eishes Ish, who is Mezana. He wants to excuse her. He has to give her a get. Okay. We learned together in our Mishnah that Kiddushin is done in one of three ways, Kesef, Shar, and Bia. The Mishnah tells us how much kesef we need, either a prut or shav a prut, according to Beis Hillel, which obviously is a halacha. How does a woman exit a marriage? In one of two ways, and that's going to be either with get or mises habal. And then the Mishnah also described yibam in terms of how you enter, how a yibam enters into marriage, and how a yavama exits, her status of being a yavama. One way of entrance, two ways of exit. Okay. And then the rest of today's daf in the Gemara. So we went through linguistics. The Mishnah elected very specific choices that were made by the Mishnah in terms of which words are going to be used. Why specifically those words of the Mishnah? We went through, instead of saying Haisha miskadeshes, the Mishnah says Haisha niknes. Also, coming from the perspective of the woman, not the man, as opposed to in the second parak where Haish mikadesh. Why does our Mishnah say Haish kone? We went over that as well. Spent time today going over whether derech is lashon zachar, lashon nekeva. The answer is yes. It's both. It can be both. You have to look at the context, the contextual clues, which will tell you whether it should be lashon zachar, lashon nekeva. We went through two psukim in the Torah, one where it's lashon nekeva, where it was describing the Torah. In other words, Lashon Zachar, where it was describing war. We went through Mishnayos. Our Mishnah over here treats it B'lashon Nekeva, right? B'shalosh, Drachim Shalosh is Nekeva. As opposed to the Mishnah in Zavim, where it treats it B'lashon Zachar, Shiva Drachim, which is Lashon Zachar. And I know, by the way, as I already pointed out earlier this morning, it's confusing. The numbers operate in the opposite as what normally is the rule. Normally, the Kamatzeh makes it feminine. The absence makes it masculine. By numbers, it's the opposite. I don't know why. Anyway, so we went over the ambiguity in the word derech. And that's it. Adkan. Okay, we'll stop over here.
Kedushin Mishkan being derisive.